Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and we're sure glad you tuned into your show, Raising Expectations. And thanks for all the different messages I received this week. We're excited about our program again tonight. And some of you have had so many good things to share. We're just going to get right into this program tonight so we have time to hear from two very, very special men. As you know, we are composed of a great team, a co-host team that God's brought into my life. I'm Pastor Joe, you know me. These guys bless my life every week. They're very, very special people. And tonight you're going to see some people that have also blessed my life. It's great to go back in your life and say, thank you, Lord, for the people who have come in and blessed you in very wonderful ways. So tonight we're going to go into our team. You know, we believe we're Bible-believing Christians. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to earth to pay the price for our sins, died on a cross to make sure we know where we're going. But almost as good as that is that we know what we're doing while we're here, because he has a plan for our lives and he promises to never leave us or forsake us, but to always, yes, always be there when we call upon his name. So let me tell you about this co-host team again, so you can say howdy to them. You all know them. We're going to start one of our guys is going to be gone tonight. Pastor Ron from Texas was called into a thing with Man in the Mirror that he needed to be at. So we're going to miss Ron tonight, but he'll be back next week. He sent the tearful-eyed text to us. He's just the greatest. So you pray for Ron tonight, too, and what he's doing in the class that he's learning in. So also, we want to go now to the West Coast, all the way to the West Coast in the great city of Lompoc, Texas. Lompoc used to be there. It moved. But in any way, you have our great friend for many years, Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired pastor. He's been my friend for over 50, that's hard to say, you know, that's hard to get out.
Yeah, 55 years, yeah.
Is it really? You did the math. We added one. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did a lot of crusades, a lot of things together back in our university days in Texas, and they still haven't found us. We're safe, but I'm sure they're still looking for us somewhere down there. I got a text. Yeah, we're still looking. Joe, where are you? I didn't answer. But anyway, we'll go from there. Dr. Hall is a retired pastor. He's a counselor. He's a Bible scholar. He's a teacher. Paul's done it just about every way you could think of in getting the word of God out to people. And he's a loved and revered man of God. And I've known him 55 years as my brother in Christ. And I'm thrilled to be able to say that, like my own brother, 55 years. Whoa. Okay, well, let's go back across the nation. Paul and I will join arms, and we're going to fly right over Texas tonight because Ron is not there. He's in Florida, I think, for this. And then if we go to South Carolina, next to South Carolina. Oops, here we go again. Yeah, it's nice getting old, isn't it? But right there in Dalton, Georgia, next to South Carolina, we have two of the most wonderful people we could ever share with you, and that's Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. And Steph is the one on the left, which I always say because you know who that is automatically. She's the founder, CEO of Quenching Well, and she also has a very special Wellness with Steph .com page that you can go to. She not only is an incredible health and wellness coach, but she also helps so many people in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So many ladies particularly reach out and find a solid rock when they meet their friend this way. So you want to check out wellnesswithsteph.com and it'll be right there for you. A lot of good things you'll see right there. Not counting the terrible hurricane that we all prayed for that hit Florida. Sorry about that. Is your place still there, Steph?
Yeah, our neighborhood, though, is impacted, like shocking.
Ooh.
And it was actually a tornado, which is very rare off the water. I don't know. It was not a hurricane. So, but people, everybody's okay. Nobody died. You know, things are lost, but no humans, right?
Good. They can fix it. That's good. That's good to hear. Amen. Well, Stephanie's right there, and on her right is her wonderful husband, Craig. We call him Tank. He's 6'5". We call him anything he wants to be called. Tank is his name, is his stage and friend name. But Tank is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He knows how to help people when a lot of people don't know how to help them. And if anything happens to me, I'm going straight to Tank first. I've already asked the Lord about that, Tank, so we're ready to check in on that one. But we also have a great thing that he's just done. He's a newly published author with his book called Saved. Saved is a story from Tank's life, finding God in the ordinary when he went through school to become a surgeon, and one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. You'll want to read this because you'll be surprised to see how the everyday things of life, sometimes extraordinary, sometimes just straight out ordinary, God's in the midst of them all, and he'll give a great testimony in this book. So you want to get your copy there. You go to our website and check on it also. It's right there on our website. Oh, there's another good book. If you want to get a good book on faith, it'll produce authentic hope. I invite you to get my book, Legitimate Faith. It'll be something hopefully that'll encourage you. Zig Ziglar twisted my arm, and I did it. And I'm thankful because it too hopefully blesses and helps people. So this is our team tonight, and now we want to go back to Texas, and we're going to go. I think it's north of Keller. Now I'm trying to remember Grapevine's where the school is, but when I was there, it's been so long. It was back down the main road and turn right and going up into the north of Keller. They had a good barbecue place. I remember that too. But the Babes, I think, was not too far from there. I remember the important things, Brandon. But anyway, so I want to welcome you. We'll have you welcome to our show in just a moment. This is John Brooks, who's the Vice President of Student Development at Faith Christian Schools in Grapevine, Texas. They call it Grapevine Faith. This school is renowned. It is highly rated in the United States, across the nation, because of its leadership, its president, and men like John, who has been there. He blessed my life. I had the privilege of being there for a few years, and what a blessing it was to me as I look back at men like John, who touched and shared in my life together. So John is there. He's with us, and we've got his picture for you to see also. Is that there possibly? Did you able to get that, DJ? I'm not sure if I got that to you or not. I think I did. Yeah, there's John. So we got John looking like $1 million there, and then we brought him down to $25.95 in the next picture, which is
Take it down.
that was the more casual one, John. We figured we'd cover all the bases. This is John Brooks, and as I say, he had a wonderful son. He's got a wonderful family and wife. I tell you, they're a blessing to everyone who knows them. Brandon is just an outstanding guy. Brandon, as you're going to meet, there's Brandon right here. He's coming with us tonight. I had the privilege of knowing him when I taught there, and what a blessing he was all the way down the hall. One of those guys that lights up the hall, turns on the lights, and lets people know he lives for Christ. Everybody knows that in his life. And now he's a specialist with a very special commercial agent, Metro.com properties, Metro-com properties. You'll share a word about that. And this is where he does now. And he's just a witness wherever he goes, and he's quick as a whip. So if you need any help, he's the guy that can help you in that. So we're going to move right into this now because we want to talk tonight about a subject that they looked at called How to Man Up in a Man-Down World. And the world we live in today, they all turn out like these guys and like Tank and Steph and their boys and our kids. Hopefully, you're going to see they make a difference in the world. So we'll just get the right, excuse me, the round of applause. Did it right for once. And it's left, right, round of applause. And welcome them onto our program tonight. And welcome to Raising Expectations. John, I'll pass it to you. Brandon, we're going to bring you up now and we'll go from there. There they are.
It is so good to be with you guys, and thank you, host and co-host. And it is no greater pleasure than to not only be on this program, which is reaching out to so many people and answering questions and really seeking to help those that are hurting and are looking for the answers. And I just so excited today because I get to do it with one of my favorite people in the world, and that's my son. I want to introduce my family so it'll give you some context, you know, to any discussion we might have. I'm one of nine children myself. My father was 29 years in the Air Force, so I tell people I served 16 years in the Air Force as an Air Force brat. We moved every 2 years. My mom and dad were not Catholic, and they, yes, were married and had no twins or triplets.
What?
So amazing, right? 9 kids. And when we talk about fatherhood, when we talk about manhood, I have to say that because he is one of my heroes, my father. He passed away after a 10-year bout of Alzheimer's. And so he's missed, but we'll get to see him one day, and we're excited about that reunion. And I'll get to see him in all of his fullness. And you know what I'm excited about? He'll get to see me in all my fullness, you know. So that's kind of my family that I grew up in. God bless me in meeting my wife in college. And Kathy and I have been married now 38 years. It'll be 39 years in June. We have two children, Brandon, 33. Did I get that right, Brandon?
We'll take it. 34.
Okay, 34.
Well,
and my daughter is 32. I know that because she's 2 years younger. So she's 32. And I'll let Brandon tell a little bit about his family.
Yeah, so thank you for having us on. It's an absolute honor. We appreciate what you guys are doing. And so I grew up under John Brooks as a pastor's kid. And I absolutely loved my upbringing. You know, there are mixed reviews when it comes to PKs. And I would definitely say that it was an absolute blessing to get to grow up as a youth pastor's kid. It was a very, very fun childhood, but I also got to see my dad be authentic and bring that into the home. And whatever he preached, he also practiced. And so I got to witness that, and that really built my faith growing up. I am now a parent of a student at Faith. I have a first grader. Emery is my daughter. Then Baker will be there next year as a kindergartner. And I have a 2.5-year-old. So I'm in the thick of it with 3 young kids. I had the privilege to marry my high school sweetheart, and Pastor Joe, I believe you taught her as well. Sarah Statz, there's Sarah Brooks now. And so just had a wonderful upbringing, and excited to share any insight that I can through that perspective.
Amen. Great. Our daughter has 2 sons. Ollie is a first grader as well at the school. And then Finn is he's 4 years old and about to be 5. So we have 5 grandsons and 1 granddaughter. They all live in the area. We do ministry together. We're all at the same church together. We all serve at the church. So we do life together. And it is the greatest joy for all of us. We do vacations together. We just so appreciate what God has done in each of our lives, and we celebrate that. And we celebrate hard in that, but we also share that. And that's probably one of the things when Joe, we were talking about, you know, how do we talk about this, raising up men in a world that seems to be attacking not only leadership, but strong manhood. And, you know, I realize there's a void in that. Matter of fact, there's a void that starts in the home. 25% of our homes do not have fathers. That's pretty rough when you're trying to raise up men in this society, that in fact the men are gone, to be that. And so who's stepping in that gap? One of the things I appreciate about my kids is they allowed me to be a dad to a lot of kids. Yeah, does that make sense?
Sure does.
In the church, I had the opportunity to come alongside, and You know, I'm looking at you men, and I know you understand this. We stand in the gap, and we fill that gap in many ways. And I tell young men, I cannot be your dad, but I can help mentor you into manhood. And it's an honor and a privilege to do so. And so try to steward that and steward that well.
Amen.
So I'm just going to throw it out and ask you guys to ask some questions, because it's not often that we get the byproduct.
Good work.
I don't have a book. Someone asked me years ago if I would write a book, and I tell them by the time it got published, I'd be behind the times. You know, things are moving so quickly in student culture and certainly the world we live in. But we've been honored to have a blessed life, and not without its ups and downs, but certainly doing it together. And the Lord has been in all of it. So. Questions you might have, and
Steph,
I'd love to call something out and then ask you a question kind of related to it. But one thing that you said, Brandon, I think is very profound, and it was that what you heard your dad preaching was what he was doing at home.
Amen. Yeah.
That's huge, right? Because it's so easy to be on a platform, a stage, and represent some way, and then at home, you know, real life is happening. We're not always at our best, you know? And so what a compliment, John, to have your son say that. And as a kind of follow-up to that, I'm not surprised, based on that statement, that you guys do life together. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. And I think we've lost that in our society for many, many people. Do you have any tips or thoughts around how you guys have been able to stay cohesive? I mean, obviously Brandon left you guys. He yokes to his wife, and that's his priority, and same with your daughter, but you guys are still all coming together and doing family as a whole.
Yeah. There's two things that immediately come to mind, and then Brandon, I'll let you jump in here. I think it was Brandon, you might have been a ninth grader at that time. And Brandon and I hug each other when we see each other, and we hug each other when we leave each other. And about ninth grade, I said, Brandon, when are you going to stop hugging me? Right? Because I knew it was coming. I just wanted to brace myself. Because that's just, you know, you get into high school, that's just not cool. And I was always around, and, you know, I was also, you know, instructing and teaching his friends, and I want to give him space. So, you know, I just simply asked him the question, and when are you going to stop doing that? And I remember he looked at me almost hurt, and he said, never. Why would I ever do that? Yeah. And I got to tell you that Brandon and I today still hug each other when we see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we hug each other when we leave each other. And I think that answers a little bit of the question, in that it's an intentionality on both of our parts to allow each other to be in each other's life. I had Brandon ask me a hard, hard question when he was in high school. He came to me one day and he said, Dad, I want you to be my accountability partner. And I said, no, you don't. I said, no, you don't. And he said, what? Yeah, I really do. I want you to be my accountability partner. And then I thought, man, okay, let me explain to you what an accountability partner is. You know, they got to ask hard questions. And he's like, yeah, I understand that. I know that, but I still want you to be my accountability partner. And I said, let me think about it 24 hours and I'll come back tomorrow with a response next day. Well, Dad, you're going to be my accountability partner. And I said, Brandon, I've given it some thought. I prayed about it. Yes, I'd be honored. And let me tell you why I hesitated. It's not that I was afraid of asking you hard questions. I was afraid of you asking me hard questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we're going to be accountability partners, then it's full transparency on anything and everything. All subjects are open for scouring, if you will, and asking the hard questions. And I think it's when you can be most vulnerable at your weakest part in front of a man, another man. And when that's your son, that's even more special, if you will, because they do know you best and they see you at your best and at your worst. So those two things really are memories that I go back to and I go, wow, our relationship, you know, had these mile markers themselves. And those were two that were special in my mind. How about you, Brandon?
Mm. Y'all better not make me cry on this podcast.
It's usually him who does it, so.
Yeah.
Make people cry. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I think, you know, that's an interesting point. I think there's this book that I've been reading called Point Man by Steve Farrar. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. And there's a phrase that the military would use. I think it was the special forces called Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. And that's something that I'm really trying to take to heart whenever I'm parenting my sons and my daughter. But it's meant to be, you know, for your wife. You're always faithful 24/7. Always on the clock. And that was just something that I saw modeled by my father with my mom. And so I think that's really what prompted me to come to my dad in that time to ask him to be my accountability partner was I saw him carry out, you know, like you were saying, not perfect, but he was faithful and intentional with how he stewarded his relationship with my mom and with us as well. And, you know, there's a memory that I have that I'll always look back on. And he alluded to, you know, like we had, as a youth pastor, we had to share him with a lot of other students, but I never really saw it that way really. What was really neat about my dad that I want to model to my kids, especially as we're entering into their adolescence and their friendship building, is we want to create an atmosphere for their friends to want to come to. And that doesn't mean having all the flashy things to play at, but we want to create an atmosphere of love, acceptance, and safety. For their friends. And I feel like that my parents did such a great job doing that to where my friends, it didn't matter, you know, where they came from. They wanted to come to my house because my parents were a blast and because my dad was intentional with them. And that's something I would love to model, you know, in my home as well. And just a quick memory about that, you know, my dad was talking about us hugging. I have a memory at the Vietnam War Memorial. Grapevine Faith does these leadership trips. And Washington, D.C. is one of them. And the bus was about to leave the Vietnam Memorial. And my dad pulled me and three or four of my closest friends and said, I forget really exactly what he said. Dad, you could probably speak into this, but it ended with all of us hugging, praying, and crying with each other and realizing that we're brothers and we would take a bullet for each other. And just to be able to experience something like that with my father, you know, because of his intentionality, is something I'll never forget.
Amen. It's great.
Yeah, so this is where I cry, right, in the broadcast. we get off the bus, and there are 50 students. I gather them around, and I try to speak into our students' expectation. You know, we can have expectations for people, but they may never know that. I think it's important that for dads and men who are trying to raise up men, speak expectation into them. Let them know what the expectations are. And you will be amazed how many times they'll raise their behavior. They'll raise their sights to match those expectations and beyond. And so I just simply said, we're about to see three memorials. We stopped at the Korean memorial, and then we go on to see Abraham Lincoln, and then we go to the Vietnam. And if you've ever been to D.C., the Korean memorial is a platoon that's and that's really where C4R got that title, point man. Was there's a point man who's at the front, and they're the first person in that platoon that's looking and seeking the danger. They take they're on the front line of that. I am telling our students, this is how you're going to behave. This is why you're going to behave that way. And I want you to maximize this moment. Split up, get with your friends, walk around. I want you to look in the faces of these incredible statues, and I want you to see the emotion on the faces. And I want you to talk about that. Well, so the group did, and I found myself about 5-6 yards behind a group of guys, and it happened to be Brandon and his buddies. I'm not that parent, helicopter parent. It just so happened that we were all walking around, and they were in front of me, and I heard this statement, you know, I would take a bullet for you. Now, that it would stop any dad in his tracks to hear his son make that statement to his buddy. And before they got around the whole memorial, each one had committed to each other that they would take a bullet for them. That rocked my world. I said, wow, that my son has guys in his life that he feels so strongly with. And I recommitted. I will not only cheer him on in those relationships, I will be a part of those relationships.
Amen. Yeah.
See, because I know they're going to pour into my son, so I'm going to pour into them. And in pouring into them, I'm going to pour into him. And so that's when God gave me the idea. You know, when we come around to the bus, I'm telling you, they were the last one, and it was somber. It was a somber moment. But I told them, I said, if you guys are serious about what you said, and I overheard, if you're serious about that, and you will have each other's backs in life, because there will be battles that you will face together, man, nothing can defeat you. God will draw you together. You are a band of brothers, if you will, and God will draw you together, and you'll go through the fight. You'll be in each other's weddings. You'll be at the hospital when your babies are being born. And do you know these guys have all been in each other's weddings? It's been a phenomenal thing to watch them do life. Brandon even has a couple that are in his small group of church now that we're doing life together. And just a phenomenal thing. I'll say one other thing, and then Brandon, let you jump back in here a little bit. We have to encourage our young men to do manhood 360. I was thinking about this. Think about 360. So they've got to look for a man who is in front of them, right? Someone who is older, someone who is more experienced. Call them a mentor, if you will. But they need to find that person. Can be their dad. Sometimes it's not, simply because of the relationship and the tension that's there, or the dad who may be not there. But they find somebody. I heard this statement. It takes 5 individuals pouring into a student for them. I'm talking about in the Christian world. 5 to pour into that student for them not to walk away from the faith when they go to college. Think about that. 5, right? Well, if they have a mom and dad, that's 2 already. But then who? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me the church is not important.
Mm-hmm.
One of Brandon's mentors was a small group leader who was a dad of one of his best buddies as well. And that guy was a pray. I mean, if he felt like you stubbed your toe, let's stop down right now and let's pray about it. I mean, he prayed about everything right then. And I love that aspect. And that's what he poured into Brandon. Man, look for somebody ahead. And then that's really looking for your Paul, right? You're looking for your Paul, but also look for your Barnabas, that person that you walk with. That's who Brandon was with the buds.
Mm-hmm.
And understand this, at some point, those friends are going to have a major influence on your son. So just know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And know who their family, know where they're coming from. Be involved in their life. And then I encourage our young men always, pass it on. Be a mentor to somebody. Find your Timothy. Pour back into. And I think in those ways, you can insulate yourself and you can really, God can use that a model, if you will, to build up manhood inside and around you as well.
I think that's one of your gifts, John. All those years, Brandon probably agree with this, that you didn't, you were prepared on certain things. Jeff Potts used to say this too. You were prepared on what you wanted to say, but you were always open to the significant events that were happening all around you. Some seemingly so insignificant that what good were they? But like, I'm trying to think of his name, our Church of Christ writer that is so great that we all love, who writes Max Licato. Mm-hmm. Max Licato has a gift of taking something that looks very serious and difficult and turning it inside out and making it so simple that you say, wow, that's right in front of me. I can even do that when you see something like that. And so many times I would watch you with students and as a dad only once was that Brandon never got in trouble. Brandon did great. But we had a couple of times. At least I never saw it, right, Brandon? We were good. But there was a time there on bus trips, and I was so thrilled to be able to come with you on those SLU trips. And you had to deal with things. But rather than, I remember a couple of instances without taking the time, but you went into them. You could have come in with the guns of Navarone blazing because you could have got their attention. They were big guys. But instead, you came in with a very simple story, something like a bee on a window or something on the bus. And you told this little story about what they were doing. And you put it to them, can you relate? And they had nothing to say. But I remember you talked to them after, and they came out of that thing, and they grew. I wrote a note down. It'd take a while to find it, though. It was a few years ago. But that's important. And you just said that a minute ago. And I think that's something that everybody, not to the extent that you're gifted with it, but everybody can be somebody for somebody by doing that so that we can fill up those other five people that need to be given. Ron has a burden for this, Ron, one of our guys. But where are they going to get this help in the world today? We can't get them in a church. We push. We're getting them there some, but even the ones that don't get in a church, because of the way you deal with people, and Brandon, even the way you said some things, they're going to listen to you. They're going to hear it. And they're going to walk away or they're going to come to you. But who knows what you said isn't sinking when they walk away. Amen. Something is there.
Amen.
Question. Anybody want to share anything? Tank, you got any thought? He's always thinking.
Yeah.
Paul, well, you go. Tank? Yeah, I'm sorry, Tank. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's this term in society, the toxic masculinity. And I'm like, that's my ideal. That's what I want to be. I want to be a leader in this family. I want a nuclear family. I want to make people feel like they belong, which is what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably the secret sauce of your groups and stuff. I want to provide. I want to teach my kids. I got to say, for me, because I had a split family, so 5 kids, split with 6, she was plus with 3.
I only had to birth 2. I got 5 for the price of 2. It's a pretty good deal, I have to tell you.
You can't say I was as good an example with the first 3. And I struggle with that because, my oldest, we did, when he turned 18, a Band of Brothers walk. We actually went to Paris, rented a car, you can do these paid for tours, but we do it on our own with Airbnbs that stuff set up. Went to Normandy D-Day, had a guided tour, all that stuff. I mean, I showed him Patton, the movie, 3 hours long. It's completely boring by today's standards. But, I mean, he had a whole paper that he wrote in high school. You could see your action in here. But I don't know how close he is to Christ either. So it's like, how do I get the ones I've lost back to being sons and leaders and want to take a hold of the family and make sure everybody's okay, et cetera?
It's a prodigal. Yeah.
Well, I've got a new book out. No. I tell you, I could make a lot of money if I had the answer where you could read it in a book. And I mean, how many prodigals are out there? How many prodigal parents do we deal with that are just struggling? You know, one of the things that a couple thoughts on that, there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees. God gave us free will. And so our kids have free will. And I have seen incredible parents in painful situations because their children just took a right and kept going, took a left, kept going, and never looked back. It's painful. It's hard. There are no guarantees. I just say, to those that have young ones, you can better the odds by doing some things, right? You can raise the chances, if you will. One of the things I would not allow the church to do, and that was to raise my kids, even though I was on staff, I wouldn't allow our youth group to raise our kids. That was a steward that my wife and I took seriously. And so we always looked at everything we did, whatever they might be involved in. I didn't want them in on talks that were over their head and would just cause confusion in their hearts. And it wasn't age appropriate. So we're not putting them in. I want you to know that we were just like every parent, and that's struggling even with, do we let them see, you know, this Rugrats. Brandon, address that, will you? Oh, I choked.
Yeah. No, that didn't scar me that I wasn't allowed to watch Rugrats at a young age.
Yeah. You're okay.
Such you made it.
No, Paul, I don't know if this would resonate with you, but part of my testimony, whenever, you know, I went to college, my father laid down some parameters of behavior that I was to abide to when I was at school. And I wouldn't call it strict by any means, but, you know, I definitely tested the boundaries in a season there. And thinking that, you know, I had the right to do that. But I was still under my father's will and tutelage, and I wasn't honoring him. And my point is that I was in a rebellious season, and I was personally struggling hearing from God during that season, and I could not find out why. And I was going to church, but I was still rebelling. And one of the parameters that my father had set for when I was in college. And I just felt like, you know, like it was probably, there's probably a theological word that you would put to this, but I wasn't able to, I felt like I wasn't able to talk to my dad. And I think it was probably guilt. But there was one service that I was at, and I was just praying like, God, what's going on? And God spoke to me through somebody at that church, and the guy tapped on my shoulder and said, hey, It's okay. God just wants to throw the football with you again. And that was from God, because what my dad and I would do to spend time with each other, was throw the football. And that's where we'd have our discussions and our special time was, we would just go throw the football and I would ask him who knows what. And whenever God spoke to me and told me that, he was just saying, your dad wants you back. And I want you back. And that was the night that I repented. The next day I came to my dad and I told him, Dad, you know, I did X, Y, Z. And it's like our relationship was restored. And not only my relationship with my dad was restored in that moment, it was restored with my prayer life. You know, it was correlated in a way.
Amen. What a step. Amen.
Yeah. So the encouragement in that is, when our children go astray, our Father puts in their path people we don't even know.
Amen.
That will serve His purposes in their life and will speak truth. One thing that always encourages me is, raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. And that basically is saying, raise them up in truth. Raise them up to know the truth. And that doesn't mean when they get older, they make all the right decisions about truth. But what it does mean is they cannot get away from truth.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, in this situation, could not get away from truth. And so if you have allowed them and raised them with intentionality to know truth, you then at that point have to rest in that. That God will keep that metronome, if you will, in their heart going, it's not right, it's not right, it's not right, until it becomes right. God will pursue them. He pursues us. He loves us. And so I'm so grateful for that, and the prayers for both my children. And we've been there. We've been there where that separation has happened out of choices made. And I look back now and I go, wow, how God used others. And so I'll pray that for your guys as well. As, you know, how and who, God's a God of miracles. And so let's just pray for one.
Amen.
Yeah, I hope it's just a bungee cord and it reaches a certain length and doesn't snap.
I understand.
Yeah. Paul, do you have a thought there? Or question? Excuse me, Tank, did you have something you want to say?
No.
Oh, okay. Paul, do you have a thought there?
No. Yeah. Go ahead, Steph. You had something?
No, I was pointing at you, Paul.
Paul's our scribe. He takes notes for the book coming up. Whatever you say is going in that book.
There. Yeah, look at that. It's a mess, isn't it? All in notes. That's why my head's down. It's not that I'm ignoring. I'm just trying to take good notes, you know, because it's important to me. I've always done that. I went on the website for the school today and I read the purpose and all those kind of things, because try to prepare, you know, for this evening and things like that. Have you all seen that commercial of that couple? And Huckabee says it's about relax, whatever it is. I don't know.
Relax him.
And the lady goes, it's the real deal, you know. And I'm going, yeah, boy, how many times have we heard that? I just want to affirm something in both of your lives and speak it into your lives. We've talked a lot about relationships and being real and et cetera, et cetera. Y'all strike me as the real deal, you know, and it's a refreshing kind of thing, and at the same time, kind of heartbreaking, because there are so many people where the bungee cord has broken, you know, and you just try to pick up the pieces, you know, as best you can. But one of the words that kind of comes up, and Tank, I think it's in your book. When I read your book, and it's on the front of Joe's book, it talks about being authentic. authentic. How would you, we've kind of talked around it, but how would you define authentic? What does that word mean? You know, there's a dictionary meaning, and it means of undisputed origin and made or done in the traditional or original way, or in a way that faithfully resembles. And I think I'm confident we talked about it. Everything that you have talked about is a reflection of your desire for each other to be conformed to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesus is the real deal. I mean, he's the original. But how would you define that, if I haven't muddied the water too much? But how do you define the word authentic? Because you can have authentic crystal and you can have authentic plastic, but they don't sound the same, okay, when you thump them. So
we've only got about 3 minutes. If you could
and kind of define that for me. What does it mean to be authentic?
So when we come to Christ, he didn't save us. He didn't save us just for the good part of us. Mm. He saved all of us. And so when you understand grace, it's by grace that we're saved, through faith. And grace is simply me taking all of me, the good, the bad, the ugly, and being able to come to a Savior who gives me life freely. And it takes the pressure off. And so I can still be myself, not only with him, but I can be myself with others as well. I don't pretend to have it all together as a dad, as a husband, as a son, in any of my relationships. But I'm okay with saying that I don't have it all together. And, I think that's where when you can say that and you can trust people with that, Brandon, I trust with that. He trusts me with that. I trust the Lord. And so I can come to him and there's where authenticity comes in. You know, our mission statement at the school is to develop and graduate authentic Christian leaders, not just Christian leaders. There's mm-hmm. a lot who profess Christianity, and we want young men, young women who simply follow Christ, bringing all that they are to bear, not being perfect, but certainly because of their love for him, to follow after him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. Amen. Wrap it up, Joe.
Amen. Sure. I tell you what, John, I got a confession. Ed knows this. I told Ed before, but that word authentic, that's where I got it. That so impressed me. Authentic Christian leadership. Not just Christians, but authentic. They're the ones that can say two steps forward and one back and two forward, but I'm progressing and growing. Yeah. Steph, could you help us out? Give us the 60-second vision. We passed this on. She's good at this.
Hour goes way too fast, first of all. If you missed any of the hours, you can catch them all at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. But halfway down, you'll find all the prior shows and recordings. At the top there, you will see ways that you can donate. We appreciate your offerings. It takes money to be on the air, and so anything that you can give is always helpful. And as you scroll down, there's ways to contact Pastor Joe directly. And you'll see there's the prior shows. And then if you keep going, you can learn about each one of the co-hosts and how to contact us. And then I think there's even an image of Craig and Pastor Joe's books, all kinds of goodies in there. So whatever you're looking for, you can find it.
That's it. And ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for your donation and your help with the program. We know God's put us on here. We don't know, like John said, we're taking it one day at a time, and God's always blessing. And thank you for your notes and your comments that come back. And Brandon, thank you for being the man of God that you are. And John, thank you for being the man of God you are and the example that you were to your son is to all of us now. And we just pray that God's richest blessings are upon you and your young family, and John blessing you and your precious wife, the whole team, and everybody there. Thanks for blessing my life and all of us. And we look forward to seeing you again sooner than later. We'll bring you back again if Brandon will do that. And we'll just cut our time and we won't say anything. We'll come on and go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for tuning in tonight to your show, Raising Expectations. We're here because you allow us to be here through your prayers, through your gifts, through your presence, most of all through your oneship in Christ with us. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, tell you what, you're not to be perfect. You want to look in the window, you're looking at us all right here, but we know who we are in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, we know where we're going because of Christ Jesus. And it's a win-win proposition, and we've sold in and bought in, and we belong to Christ, body, soul, and spirit. We hope you will also. Tune in again next week, same time, same station. Until then, God bless you. God bless everybody at Faith. God bless you. May you just do a great job in your new company, what you're doing, Brandon. And you're in our prayers all the time. Love you guys, okay? Thanks for blessing me. And hey, team, God bless you. Love you guys.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Brandon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.